disperse immediately or you will be subject to arrest with now.
A boss ain't nothing but a thief on a time loan. 128 bit war, you play Nintendo on some shooter, so put the bridge down and feed us to the killer bees. We get what we deserve, life. Bury me with my MP3s. Write my manifesto in 72 DPI. Life's just a game, you got cheated, never learn. I write these songs every bridge that ain't been burned. For every cop car that ain't.
Welcome to This is America, June 4th, 2018. A new letter from the Trump administration, published by the New York Times and sent to the Mueller investigation in January, argues that Trump has the power to both end the Russia investigation and pardon anyone that could receive charges from it. Meanwhile, Trump's trade policies continue to cause a rift within the global ruling class and push for an escalated trade war. In a statement from the G7, Canadian elites attacked Trump's push towards trade war with China and further signaled their desire to break with the U.S. Quote, Canadian Finance Minister Bill Montague said that unfortunately the actions of the United States risk undermining the very values that traditionally have bound us together. He added that the Trump administration's actions were, quote, destructive to our ability to get things done. And he asked U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to convey the regret and disappointment of the other six nations to President Trump. The Japanese finance minister also attacked Trump's calls for tariffs, while the French finance minister stated that, quote, the European Union was ready to proceed with retaliatory actions and Washington had only a few days to de-escalate the trade conflict. Such comments signify the falling of the United States as a global power and the rise of new economic relationships between nation states that could very well exclude the United States. For more information on this subject, check out our conversation with Peter Gelderlos and Scott Campbell on the It's Going Down podcast. In California, police were let off the hook for the murder of Mario Woods in 2015. Woods' killing sparked years of protests and violent clashes with the police. In Georgia, a police officer was fired after using his car as a weapon to run over a suspect. According to one report, after initially trying to block the man, who was identified as Timmy Patman, the officer used his car to ram Patman and send him flying across the hood of his cruiser. In Florida, a sheriff's deputy has been suspended for 40 hours after racial slurs were caught on video. According to the Atlanta Black Star, Frank D. Arnasi will be required to complete, quote, diversity training after he stated to another officer on camera, it smells like effing dirty N-word in my effing car. Also in Florida, a jury awarded the family of a slain man in 2014 at the hands of law enforcement a total of only $4. According to one article, quote, a Florida jury awarded total damages of $4 for the killing of a 30-year-old African-American man in 2014 by two sheriff's deputies. Adding insult to injury, the jury ruled that Gregory Hill Jr. was 99% responsible for the actions of the two cops who took his life, meaning that only 4 cents was actually to be paid out, a penny to cover his funeral cost, and a penny for each of his three surviving children, aged 13, 10, and 7. But the news isn't all bad. In Lubbock, Texas, youth in the middle of a block party hurled water balloons and shot squirt guns at police who attempted to stop the fun. One person responded on Twitter for those critical of the actions of youth. The point everyone is missing that they were having a friendly water balloon fight. Not just 10 or 20 people. Nah, this was two sides of the city that have been shooting and killing each other for years, and we finally get along and having fun. Would you rather us shoot water balloons or guns? On June 3rd in Portland, violent clashes broke out between members of the far-right umbrella group Patriot Prayer and anti-fascists. Patriot Prayer is led by Joey Gibson, a self-described semi-libertarian who is currently running as a Republican for senator. Over the last 2 years, Gibson's so-called free speech rallies have been a recruiting ground for a mix of MAGA diehards, members of the alt-right, neo-Nazis, Proud Boys, and militia members. Clashes began almost right off the bat in Portland as Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer members numbering around 50 attempted to attack and pepper spray anti-fascists who numbered over 150. Patriot Prayer then began marching around the city until they were stopped by police and told that they either could face arrest or end their march. The marching continued, however, as a dwindling number of Patriot Prayer members were literally chased out of Portland. Wanting to know more about what went down, we reached out to anti-fascist writer and researcher Shane Burley.
with the comrades. Love Sundays with the comrades. Fair organizing with comrades. Strapped to a chair.
What was this? Was this a Joey campaign rally, or was this just a, you know, a big tent far right coalition get together? What all happened today?
It's not entirely clear what their point was. So Tiny, which is sort of like his bodyguard, his Proud Boy, was at least what he said was he was planning on moving back to Samoa. Either way, he's leaving town for a period of time, and so this was sort of like his send-off. There didn't seem to be anything planned beyond that. There wasn't really political speeches there. There wasn't a large coalition. It was really just the core. Frankly, it was almost entirely Proud Boys. Like in the past, Patriot Prayer was able to pull from maybe Patriot Militia ties, even just kind of like felt like conservative groups, things like that. But this time it was almost entirely Proud Boys and street preachers.
Right. So what all happened throughout the day? What all went down?
Well, so they got there and immediately started antagonizing with protesters that were foreign, which vastly outnumbered them. There was really only about maybe 50, 75 of them. And several hundred counter-protesters. Like, it was within minutes that they started picking fights before Joey even arrived. There were several. Once they did, and Tiny kind of ran the show, they set up to do several marches, but really was just about a three-block radius. They would just do this three or four times, find a way to march directly into the opposition and start picking fights again. They were spraying mace, fire extinguishers, a lot of people attacked. And they were antagonizing and basically picking fights start to finish right up until the end. At a certain point, they were being overwhelmed so much, and the police had finally started to threaten them. The police were there kind of dividing things up and really protecting them most of the time. But since there had been so many conflicts, they basically told them that they had to leave. They set up a system to try and, what they said was, protect the women and children, that the Proud Boys were going to walk them back to their cars. Essentially what happened was their numbers started to dwindle, and that's when they really got scared, because there were only about 20 core members at that point, and the counter-protester hadn't really dissipated, so they basically just chased them through the streets of Portland until they were gone.
Right, there's a video that's on Twitter where somebody with the Portland police comes up and tells Gibson and says, like, you know, look, we can arrest some of you guys, but we're basically telling you right now that we'll let you leave. So basically they were saying, like, you know, if you leave now, we won't arrest some of your people. And, I mean, you're up in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, is this something they do with the Black Lives Matter demonstration or anarchists on May Day?
No, there's never the same rules there. They're always on kid gloves with Patriot Prayer. And frankly, even the Patriot Prayer people are pretty mad at the police in this situation. I'm still not sure why. But, I mean, Joey hangs in the back, talks into his live stream the whole time. His acolytes get in trouble, pick fights, and he just kind of hangs in the back and streams on YouTube about how he's being attacked. So, like, he didn't really seem to have control of it. He's kind of the local celebrity of it. And the rest of it really was Proud Boys that were just creating a circle around him at any time and really, really going after people.
And what does that say just about, like, you know, just what's happened with the far right? I mean, he's really created a coalition up there that includes everybody from MAGA people to patriot types to alt-right neo-Nazis, fans of the Daily Stormer, etc. I mean, what does this say that his base is shrinking and now it's mostly Proud Boys?
Well, I think it shows that a lot of these far-right public events are really not proving themselves successful on their side. The mass opposition is so huge that they're being overwhelmed. And so he's actually getting a large layer cut off. We didn't see much of the Patriot Militia types there today. That doesn't mean they're gone entirely, but it definitely is shrinking down. And the people who are willing to stay there, frankly, are Proud Boys because they're willing to fight. And so I think they're, in a lot of ways, the last holdout of what was those quote-unquote free speech movements that started in Berkeley and kind of spread around the country. They really are the last ones holding on. And what they're getting is Proud Boys and these far-right street preacher types and starting to shift in a lot of ways towards protesting abortion clinics and things like that. So they just don't have the broad appeal that they once did. And part of it's because they're bad organizers. There's not a lot of goals here. We're not sure exactly what the point of this is at this point, except to come out and push on the left and push on communities that are mourning. You know, there were several bigoted attacks here in the last few weeks. A queer student was attacked, put into a coma. And so it feels like 1 year later after the last major Patriot Prayer event that happened in Portland last summer, which was in the wake of the Jeremy Christian stabbing, but they're doing the exact same thing and trying to antagonize the community that's been mourning.
What do you think is going to happen with these groups, I mean, over the next couple months, like going into and after the primaries? I mean, are we going to continue to see these people mobilize in this way? You know, like, is Joey going to ride this train until the wheels fall off? Or will there be a point in which they'll try to switch what they're doing? Because, I mean, Joey was, you know, supposedly he's running for Senate, you know, and then he says he's not going to do this stuff anymore, and he's still doing it.
Yeah, I don't think he has anything else. I mean, frankly, he lost his career in the middle of doing this. He has things like this embarrassing Senate run. This is really all the only thing he has left going. And without this, he doesn't have much of a community around him. Without these kind of public events, Patriot Prayer doesn't exist functionally. And so he has to keep doing this. I think when he goes up to the midterms and they can start to pull in more MAGA people, that's the only shot they have at increasing their numbers. So I think they're going to push through. What I wonder is whether or not this level of violence from Proud Boys is really going to help them have any amount of crossover. There used to be a certain amount of crossover there, but now at this point, if this is what the core is, and frankly, Joey seems fine with it, then I don't see what future he has past, like, the rest of this year.
So just one last question. I mean, looking forward, you know, as this kind of, like, mutated mix of Proud Boys, alt-right, MAGA types, I mean, continue to do this, like, one foot in politics, one foot on the street, you know, looking forward towards, you know, the midterms and also Trump running in 2020, which I'm sure he will, or something will happen. What should anti-fascists have in mind just as far as the terrain that you see in the coming months and years?
Well, right now there seems to be a split away between what we used to call, like, the alt-right, like the slightly more moderate crowd, and the alt-right and the open neo-Nazis and white nationalists. That comes largely from the fact that the MAGA types simply don't want to put up with mass anti-fascist resistance, which is exactly what's been happening. And so I think that they're going to go out on their own. That doesn't mean they're any less dangerous, but they're still going to be pushing Islamophobic and anti-immigrant politics. So I think that's something that's going to have to be on people's radar. And I think that's actually going to ramp up in the midterm when people have far-right candidates have been pushing at their base. And so I think we're going to see not just from the white nationalist crowd, but from a larger right-wing community, really heavy attacks on immigrants, on Muslim communities, communities of color in general, and that's where I think we need to put a lot of energy into defense and support and solidarity.
Right. Well, just in closing, one last question. Do you want to say anything about the anti-fascists that were on the streets? Looks like people really kind of held their own today in the face of some pretty vicious attacks.
Oh, absolutely. There was a lot of really great groups, Rose City Antifa, UGA Antifa, Pacific Northwest Anti-Fascist Workers Collective. A lot of organizations put a lot of time and a lot of care into the research and planning around this, and that was really evident, especially communicating to community how the kind of people that are involved in Patriot Prayer can be kind of a smokescreen and what they've done publicly. So it's really good to have organizations like that that are able to really explain thoroughly what's going on and then put a plan into action, because the only thing that's going to stop these people is having a large, massive community there to say that we don't accept this and that they are not represented.
The anarchy symbol till you just stop chatting actual dribble, because we know it just isn't such, and neoliberalism sucks, and even though we're seeking, though the beat we broke just isn't much, so please oppose the frigid touch.
Union bureaucrats in Las Vegas have squashed a potential citywide strike by service workers of upwards of 50,000 people. Upwards of 15,000 AT&T workers, though, have gone on strike across several states, largely in Michigan. One website stated, quote, "The strike is member-driven, not called for by the union," officials said. However, another report wrote, quote, "The CWA has refused a call for a system-wide strike as it attempts to diffuse worker anger and militancy through a series of isolated and disjointed strikes. What is needed, of course, is a strike like in West Virginia, a broad and mass strike across industrial lines." Actions took place this weekend for hashtag International Whores Day, which also called for the decriminalization of sex work and against such laws as SESTA FOSTA. In various cities, marches and demonstrations took place, and in Minneapolis, graffiti slogans were written. Check out our show notes for tweets and photos. In Hamilton, three more people, unfortunately, have been arrested by police on suspicion of their involvement in an anarchist-led anti-gentrification march that ended in several broken windows. Be sure to check out North Shore info for future updates as well as it's going down. Another J20 defendant has had their charges dropped during trial, while three other defendants in a different trial block also had their charges dropped. Currently, three people are still waiting sentencing for supposedly breaking glass windows on January 20th. It also remains unclear as if the state will move forward to drop all remaining charges or a vast majority of them as they did in the wake of the first trial block. Check Unicorn Riot and Defend J20 for future updates as well as It's Going Down. Across the U.S. this Sunday, Running Down the Walls events took place in solidarity with political prisoners. Check out the roundup on the show notes for photos and tweets. Resistance to the BioBridge pipeline continues. Check their Facebook page for the newest updates. And despite ongoing arrests against water protectors in the Hellbender Autonomous Zone, this morning a lockdown took place which stopped construction for over 4 hours. On Facebook, Appalachians Against Pipelines wrote, quote, "The three arrestees from this morning successfully stopped Mountain Valley Pipeline construction for 4 hours. Their bail is set at $1,500 each. Can you help get them out?" There is a link in our show notes to do exactly that. In LA, as the rent strike continues, so does a viral campaign to take down, quote, "We Flip Houses" signs. You can check social media for lots of videos and footage of just that. On Tuesday, there is a call to support Kinross prison rebels in Michigan with the call-in campaign. See the call on It's Going Down. In South Bend, Indiana, an abolished ICE banner was dropped. In Richmond, Virginia, a march took place against the police murder of Marcus Peters. And in Chicago, actions continue to call for divestment from the police. Lastly, in Boston, Massachusetts, fascist and alt-right trolls with Resist Marxism held a pathetic rally of about 25 people, which was shouted down by several hundred more counter-demonstrators. Thanks a lot for listening. Be sure to go to itsgoingdown.com/shop to find out how you can donate and keep It's Going Down sustaining. Till next time, we'll see you soon. This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.